This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves!
Breaking Waves on Eastside, 89.7 with Alex Healy and Ollie Shelbourne. We are back just without Seth because he has been arrested.
Yeah, we didn't have enough money to bail him out, but we hope he's listening wherever he is. Happy Monday evening, everybody. We hope you all had a good weekend. Do not stress. Alex and I have got you covered. We've got another big show on the way for you. So whatever you're doing this evening, keep it locked on Eastside.
That is right. We're going to get into chatting about some very topical debates surrounding music festivals here in Australia. Mm-hmm. And I've also got some major news about gyms, something that may come up in the upcoming budget regarding tax deductions. Fingers crossed. So stay tuned for that. And also this new run club phase that's going on in everyone's lives.
We're
going
to break it down. I'm all ears. But let's get into it with our first song of the evening. It's currently the most played song on Australian radio and has also hit number one in Germany as well. It's by an Aussie DJ who's killing it. His name's Cyril. The song is Stumbling In. You're listening to Eastside.
Our love is alive.
Alex and Ollie on Eastside, can I just say that Seth has not been arrested? He's just travelling.
Well, I was going to say that song Stumbling In with Seth walking into the police station, but no, we can confirm he's not under arrest. He will be back next week.
Exactly.
So don't stress, Seth.
Ollie, share what's happening in the music festival world. Let's get
into
it.
Yes, so there's been some major news in the past couple of weeks, obviously with one of the biggest festivals on the calendar here in Australia, Splendour in the Grass, being cancelled only days after the lineup was released. So we had some pretty big names in the lineup, so I'll go through some. Kylie Minogue coming back down under for a massive show. She had a huge year last year, so that's a pretty big get. Mm. There was Future, Hayden James, G-Flip, Omar Apollo, Tash Sultana. So not the biggest, like, worldwide names, but some pretty great Australian artists on the lineup. However, only about a week and a couple of days after the lineup was released, Splendour went out and said, we've had to cancel the event.
Wait, why?
Due to unforeseen circumstances, which people in the industry are saying they didn't sell enough tickets to cover the costs of the festival, and people have been up in arms. This isn't the first festival that's been cancelled this year. Just last month, Groove in the Moo, which is actually supposed to be happening a couple of weeks from today, it's a regional festival that goes around Maitland, Newcastle, Canberra. That had to be cancelled as well because they weren't able to sell enough tickets. So people are really disappointed that, you know, they're worried that the music festival industry is dying here in Australia. We're not able to have music festivals anymore. People aren't able to afford the tickets. The government isn't doing enough to sort of subsidize these events to make them more affordable for people.
I don't think, just to like cut in here, the government is never going to do what you said. Like, they don't want, if I was part of the government, I would not do anything to like assist with those types of music festivals because of the drug issues that go on in it. Like, it's so upsetting seeing on the news the following Monday or Tuesday the list of everyone who died at the festival. I hope the government doesn't assist a huge amount with the music festivals because it's just upsetting.
But at the same time, though, the government does need to, like, there is grants and stuff in action where these festivals provide jobs, provide money, provide like economic boosts for so many different regions, so many different industries. The arts industry, after COVID especially, had such a tough time. And, you know, we thought once COVID was over, people were going to be back to festivals, it was going to be back, everything was going to be live again, but it just hasn't been that way. And we're not sure if it was a lineup issue or, you know, the cost of living means that people like us, young people, aren't actually able to afford the tickets anymore because they're so expensive.
That makes sense.
So there's a massive debate going on that, you know, the music festival in Australia is dead. There's not many music festivals happening this year now. There's so many that have been cancelled. Artists probably aren't going to want to come to Australia now if the music festivals aren't going to go ahead. So we're going to be unable to attract bigger names. And people are upset. There's so many people involved with music festivals. It's such an expensive thing to run, but at the same time boosts so much money back into the economy, and it's so important. It's a rite of passage for young people to go to a music festival, to be muddy, to be dancing away to their favourite artists, but unfortunately it seems like that isn't happening. I know, Alex, you haven't been to too many music festivals.
I've never been to a music festival.
Would you go? What would your ideal lineup be to make you go? Like, how much, if you...
No.
Like, if it was a $500 ticket, who would you be expecting to see at a music festival?
Well, one, I would never... I couldn't camp overnight. Like, it's just too... Like, I'm worried about the security and the hygiene. And have to be like Justin Bieber, Post Malone, like some good names like Coachella, but I wouldn't go to Coachella.
You wouldn't go to Coachella?
No, I feel like we have two different extremes here. So Ollie loves music festivals, goes to like everyone. Me, I have never been to a music festival and I don't see myself going to one. Full support of them, obviously. Like, I'm not against them in any way. But I just think that the tickets are extremely expensive.
Yep.
And because we're in a recession and the cost of living is so high, people are just putting, thankfully, other means before music festivals.
No, it's good. And there's definitely different opinions on this, but I just think that Splendour itself is such an iconic festival. It's been running since 2001.
Really?
And it's in the past, like 20 years, it's attracted names. Like, it's had Florence and the Machine, Coldplay, Lorde.
What?
It's one of the biggest festivals. And it also provides a way for smaller artists to then gain more visibility to perform to new crowds, and then they themselves will become much, much bigger artists. So it is definitely an important date in the music calendar here in Australia. Brings people together. But if we can't even, you know, hold our most iconic festival, then there's no hope for the smaller festivals around the country as well.
It makes sense that they cancelled it because, I mean, how much are tickets? Like $800?
Oh, no. Tickets for this would have been about $300, $400, I think.
And still,
depends on camping and stuff.
That's like weekly groceries. Yeah. I mean, if you think about people who, you know, you need to put your money to...
Yeah.
better use if, you know, most of us.
But. And the Senator Sarah Hanson-Young has been like in the Senate sort of saying the government needs to step up, they need to provide funding and then budget in May to the arts and to like re-inject money into the industry because she's worried it's dying. Mm. But it is definitely a contentious topic. If you guys are listening and you have any thoughts, do let us know. breaking.waves.eastside.fm. Alex, what is it? You know the
Yeah, breaking.waves.eastside.fm.
Let us know your thoughts. Would you have gone to Splendor? Was it just a bad lineup? It is pretty sad when these events, you know, put up their lineup and they're so excited. Mm. They've like planned everything because these things don't just happen overnight. Splendor would have been planned like almost a year ago, and then ticket sales means they just have to cancel it.
But if you think about it with regards to the government funding or whatever, there is already a huge police presence. Mm. So then I don't know who pays, like, does the government pay for
government
the...
Government would pay
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Stuff, yeah.
So they have to pay so much money for the police dogs, for the drug tests, for the security, for everything. But that's because obviously a festival, if they wouldn't pay the police to be there for safety. Mm. No. So that is just a cost in itself. So I don't see them supporting
music festivals. It is an expensive thing. But hopefully we'll get some big names soon and people... Maybe the tickets just need to be cheaper. That's maybe it.
Right, let's get on to our next song.
Yeah, we have got another banger for you guys. Dom Dolla, speaking of festivals, he is an Aussie festival mainstay. I saw him over the New Year's at a festival called Lost Paradise. He was awesome. We counted down New Year's Eve with Dom Dolla. And this is his latest hit song, Saving Up, right now on Eastside.
Should they be tax deductible? Okay, if you think about it, $22 a week, maybe $30 a week, $35, it adds up.
Yeah.
Right now, in the cost of living crisis and the fact we're in a recession, like you want to reduce your costs. So a lot of people are cancelling their gym memberships, which is sad because it's so expensive. So that's why like Oz Active has submitted a proposal to the Treasurer ahead of the budget for 2024, 2025. So that's scheduled for May 14th. And they are pushing for, quote, all employees to be able to claim gym memberships and fitness activities like Pilates, yoga, and Tai Chi as a tax deduction. How great is that? How do you feel about that, Ollie?
I get it. And I would say, yeah, like, that's so good. Tax deduction, better for everyone. But then I just think, once we've done that, like, where do we go from there? Like, will smoothies start being tax deductible? Will, you know, like, everything will start, like, getting a proposal? Like, we sort of have to cut the line somewhere. And I get that gym is active and it's great, but also people enjoy it. It shouldn't be, like, up to the government, I don't think, to, you know, pay for someone's gym membership. If you want to go to the gym, I get that it is expensive, but at the same time, $22 a week, that's like avo toast. Like, you can, I reckon a gym is a better investment than, you know, some things. And I think if you are dedicated and you are wanting to, like, you know, be active and exercise or go to Pilates or do yoga or whatever sort of activity you want to do, I get that it is expensive, but I don't think that the government should then be forced to, or should be, you know, giving us a tax deduction on that, because I think people should want to do it out of their own.
Okay. Yeah, so that's why AusActive has put this proposal forward to the Treasurer. Right. So it's not, they're not pushing them, it's not guaranteed, it's just they've made their case and hopefully it's in the budget. But I mean, in general, a tax deduction for fitness expenses is only available if your job requires you to have like extremely high levels of fitness. So there's already, for example, firefighters, they can claim gym membership
that makes
as a tax deduction. Look, okay, saying the chief executive, executive of AusActive has said that if tax deductions were implemented, it would slash the $27 billion spent in the health system treating diseases caused by inactivity. And not saying that everyone is now going to, you know, go out and get a gym membership because it's tax deductible.
But there'll be a shift in perspective.
Yeah, and like, just a little
that
bit.
That does make sense. And I suppose if we are promoting more people to go out and become active and we are giving them that incentive to do so, then you're right, there'll be like a ripple down effect to diseases and like issues and stuff health-wise because more people will be actually going out and exercising. So I do see their point there. I just think that, yeah, the government would have to, you know, plan it quite well in the sense that it's equal for everybody, rather than just sort of for the people that like wanting to go to the gym, because some people don't like the gym and that's fair enough. I mean, that's still run without going to the gym. You can go for a run out in, you know, on the beach or out near wherever at a park. You don't have to be part of a gym to exercise, but I do see what you mean, the incentive that they are giving to people to sort of go out and live a healthy, active lifestyle.
Right. And like on the topic of runs, there are some great like free run clubs as well. This whole like run club culture all over social media, I see 5 a.m. runs.
The unofficial run club.
I know. Well, there are like so many in this area as well. Like Centennial Park, they have this like Pace Yourselves run club. Mm-hmm. Milsons Point, unofficial run club. Look, if you're interested, head to like Urban List and like look up Sydney's best run clubs. But I prefer to run alone. Would you join a run club?
I've actually gone to the unofficial run club before.
Really? You run?
Usually my work schedule means I can't because I work early mornings, but there was I think it was a public holiday, so I went along and it was fun. It's great. There's a lot of people there. It's almost not even focused on the running or the exercise. It's also just about having a community. You know, people are there for the coffee and the croissant afterwards, and it's nice to run. I do know what you mean. Sometimes running alone or like running with one friend is better because it's quite overwhelming when you're running in a huge crowd. You can't really like get into the zone, but it is nice and people chat when they run. It's also becoming very much like a dating pool scenario where people sort of are trying to use it to like pick up. But I mean, if it's,
that
if
makes
it,
sense.
If
I
it's
like
shifting
that.
From people wanting to go out and get drunk every single day to actually, you know, I'm not going to go out on a Friday because I've got run club on Saturday morning, then I do think it's beneficial and it's nice to see people actually going out and exercising.
Well, I think that's such a good idea because if you're not, if your job is demanding, you're not, you can't go out as much, where are you supposed to meet someone like as a single person who has the same interests of being active? Yeah. Then join a run club. If you're not into the early morning wake-ups, like there are often run clubs. However, I read the most... No, that's such a lie. I didn't read a book. I listened to the audiobook.
You're too ADHD for that.
Literally. The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. The best book I've ever read slash listened to ever. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. It got me into 5 a.m. wake-ups, and I got to admit, I've come back to my regular wake-ups, so I need to, like, listen.
Get back into it.
Exactly. I need to, I've, like, saved chapters to listen back to. But Spotify, if you have Spotify Premium, it's included. Look up 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma, otherwise any bookstore. It's all about own your morning and elevate your life, and it's about waking up at 5 a.m. and what that can do for you. The hard thing is that you have to do it every single morning because, like they say in the book, part-time commitment really does produce part-time results, and that's the hard thing.
Right. It is beneficial to wake up early. And I think as well, 100%. Australia is such a nation of early risers. Like, you look out, you go outside at 4 a.m., 5 a.m., there's so many people out and about.
Oh, there were. When I was running, because I did, like, ran down through Balmoral, there were so many people. And it was, like, 5:30. I'm like, what?
You go to England or anything, people are in bed till 10 a.m.
What even is... No.
Like, I think people just love seizing the day here, which is great.
Like, for, like, 50 years, my dad has, like, never slept in past, like, 6.
What?
I know. He's like, he can't. He just can't sleep in past 6 a.m. He just, on like, even on Sundays, like, for, like, years and years and years, my whole childhood, like, go to work. Absolutely loved it. I don't know. I don't know how he does it. Good on him. Anyway, highly recommend the book.
Yeah. And if you want to join a run club, Alex went through some good run clubs to join, or you can go to Urban List and look them up. There were so many in different areas. Heaps are here in the eastern suburbs as well. So you never know. And also, you don't have to be a good runner. That's the other thing. You don't have to, like, have a fast pace or have the best runners or, like, training gear. You just have to go have a good time and enjoy yourself.
Speaking of running, to celebrate Beyoncé's new album, which came out a few weeks ago, we're playing one of her old songs.
To celebrate Beyoncé, we're playing one of her old songs.
Because her new songs are not that great. I can't say that.
You can. We don't care. You're allowed to have an opinion. What's this song called, Alex?
It's Runnin' by Beyoncé and Naughty Boy. Happy Monday, everyone. You're listening to Eastside.
These four lonely walls have changed the way I feel. The way I feel. I'm standing still. Nothing else matters now. You're not here. So where are you? I've been calling you, I'm missing you.
Say, if you're Monday night here on Eastside now, Alex, I want to get into some pretty interesting chat. The oldest man in the world, Juan Vicente Perez Mora, has just died, aged 114 recently. That's a pretty good innings, 114 years. And experts...
Wait, did you say 114?
114.
I was so zoned out right then. I was like, he's playing it fast and loose with the word interesting. Oh my God, 114.
114. That's crazy. And people, like experts are saying that with how we're going, people living longer is going to be like more and more common. And the UN expects that 3.2 centenarians across the world by 2050. So there'll be like more and more people living past 100.
Wow.
And yeah, just 2 months before he hit his 115th birthday, poor Juan died, aged 114. But we're going to look at tips and, you know, hacks to living a longer life from some of these people who have reached 100 years old. There's one lady who actually says she lived to 117. She died in 2017. Emma Morano was her name. And she said her old age was partly down to good genetics, but she also ate eggs every single day. So eating eggs could be the secret to living a longer life.
Well, I mean, depends. If you're eating eggs and then you're eating cake and chocolate and everything.
Well, she ate 3 eggs a day, 2 of them raw, eggs, for more than 90 years. And she also said that before she died, leaving her abusive marriage was another reason she lived for so long. So there's a lot of weird stuff. But some people say eating pig's feet as well. Olive oil massages. There's so many weird things. A lot of people say, you know, smoking is going to kill you. Don't smoke. Give up smoking. But there is one man in Brazil. His name is Inar Canabara Lucas. And he smoked for his entire life. He drank port. He did all sorts of things that you would assume, you know, would kill you early, give you cancer. And he lived to 115 as well. So
okay. I'm going to step in here and just bring up a book that I think is important.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
No, it's The Fast 800 by Michael Moseley. Just to add in what you've been saying, I think if you actually want some dietary advice from like the world's best dietitians and everything, I highly recommend The Fast 800. You don't, even if you don't want to diet, don't want to fast, just listen to the first few chapters because it tells you examples of what people have done to prolong their life.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to throw that
and
in there.
You're right. There's a lot of like diet and nutrition and like that kind of aspect that will definitely keep you living for longer.
Yeah, so let's just ignore the guy that smoked and then died at 115 because please don't smoke. That will
but again,
not prolong
your life.
But
again, you do hear about people who are like live the healthiest lifestyles. They're out, they're eating healthy. And like you never know when you're going to die.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
All, it is really chance, so like you 100%. can be down to genetics, but living past 100, that's a pretty
it is. And cool, you know, thing. what I've learned from this book, The Fast 800, is that majority of it comes down to your diet, like literally everything. Like yes, everything. Exercising is so important, but dieting,
what you eat,
yeah, exactly, yeah, is even more important.
So what do you reckon are the best foods to eat to prolong your life? Obviously not sugar and
I won't say any of that now because I'm not a doctor, but I will do is if you want the answer to that question from a professional, The Fast 800. Again, if you have Spotify Premium, then you can listen to the audiobook for free.
Alex is on Spotify Premium's like promotional tour this evening.
Just telling everyone where they can listen.
Listen to audiobooks is it's good. But there's actually articles that have said recently that chocolate helps you to lose weight.
Where are you getting this information from?
There's a chemical in dark chocolate called theobromine that actually has a number of health benefits, including helping people to slim down and also protecting your brain from like age-related decline, so keeping your brain healthy. So, I mean, obviously we know that dream chocolate or like proper dairy milk probably isn't the best for you, but that dark chocolate actually has like nutrients in it that will help you slim down.
You know what? That dark chocolate is mentioned in the Fast 800 book. And he specifies the grams. He says that like you have to keep it under a certain amount. Otherwise, it's not going to have the same benefits.
Yeah.
Same as this butter that I have, just throwing it out there. Woolies has this like a cholesterol lowering probiotic butter. Yeah. And I was reading it. I like read the whole, like I was standing in like the aisle for like 20 minutes reading all the butters. And
did you read it or did you get the audiobook of the butter?
I was looking at like the bottom of the butter and it was like, if you have this certain amount of butter, but under it was like, I don't know, 3 grams or whatever, then it actually has major health benefits.
Oh my God.
Also, obviously it wasn't 3 grams, but
that is crazy. So there you go, guys. If you've taken anything from today's show, eat chocolate, eat butter, join a run club.
Everything in moderation, Ollie. You've been listening to Breaking Waves on Eastside 89.7 with Alex Healy and Ollie Shelbourne.
Enjoy the rest of your week and we'll be back with Seth next Monday.
listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.